Will you turn with me this evening to Psalm 121? Psalm 121, continuing our series in the Songs of Ascent, the Psalms of Ascent, also known as the Songs of Degrees. Psalm 121, it's very well known, it's very well loved, it's some people's favourite psalm, and it's a good choice for a favourite psalm. It's a song of ascents. We won't go over what we talked about last week, but we remind ourselves that these psalms, whatever their original purpose, whatever their absolute origin was, these psalms were used for pilgrims on their journeys up to Jerusalem. And this psalm, 121, primarily reminds us to look to the Lord God, and it shows God as a great guardian. It shows God as a guardian God. And in this psalm, it's just a few verses, but there is so much encouragement and comfort and assurance for us as Christian believers. And the psalmist says, I will lift up my eyes to the hills, from whence comes my help. It's a question. And here is a place, a very rare place, where the grand old King James Version lets us down a little, because it doesn't have a question mark. And those who perhaps read it uncarefully would perhaps read it like this. I will lift up my eyes to the hills, where my help comes from. Well, that's not at all what the psalmist is saying. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From whence comes my help? Where is my help coming from? I'm lifting up my eyes to the hills. Why is that? Well, it may be he's looking to the hills because they are safe places, high places, secure places, places to hide out, places to fortify. It may be he's looking to the hills not for security, but in concern because a force coming to attack him is going to appear upon the hills. That it may be that there is a hostile enemy force on the hills. That might be why he's looking there also. There may be a threat. But whichever way it is, whether the hills are for safety or whether the hills contain a great threat, the psalmist knows that his help comes from somewhere quite different. How grand and impressive mountains are and hills. How very much people rely on them tactically in times of war and that kind of thing. But the psalmist says, my help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. My help comes from Jehovah God. I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord who made the hills and everything else. Jehovah God. And we're encouraged by this. My help, the Christian believer's help, comes from Jehovah. My help, your help, it comes from Jehovah. My help comes from him. And that means it comes for certain. It's definitely coming. Charles Spurgeon wrote, help is on the road. It will reach us in due time. For he who sends it is not known for being too late. He has a way of saying these things. God is never late. God always delivers what is needed at the right time. My help comes from the Lord. And it's a certain help. It's a help that will arrive. A help that will come. My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He can help. He is God. And so often we get tied up with our petty problems. And sometimes they're not petty. Sometimes they're big and grievous. To us, they're huge problems and troubles and difficulties. But what are they to God? The Lord who made heaven and earth. What are our troubles to him? My help comes from the Lord. He can deal with my problems. He can help me. My help comes from the Lord. And sometimes we have to acknowledge this. I need help. We are too quick. I am too quick. I dare say you are too. To tough it out. I'll be all right. Oh, that's not worth praying about. Oh, it'll be okay. We need help. We are creatures. He is the Creator. He's made us and knows all about us. My help comes from the Lord, and I'm glad to get it, and I know that I need it, and I depend entirely upon Him. Where does it come from? From Yahweh, Jehovah, the Lord, the covenant-keeping God of His people. Here, the God of His people Israel, now the God of His people and the church of all ages, who made heaven and earth. Who else could help like our God? Who else is qualified to help in our problems of life? What great joy there is for us in this knowledge. My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. And he continues, he will not allow your foot to be moved. Well, the context in the terrain, in the pilgrimages that were made and the journeys that were made, it was often quite treacherous. It was hard underfoot. There were places where if your foot slipped too far one way or the other, you could pay a terrible price. You could tumble down a ravine. You could struggle with all sorts of problems. But he will not allow your foot to be moved. He's not going to allow you to get into great trouble. Who is there who's going to change God's mind and His purpose? When God says, I will not allow your foot to be moved, who is going to say to Him, I disagree, that person will slip? He speaks, the psalmist says, He will not allow your foot to be moved. You're not going to fall. You're not going to be lost. You're not going to be fatally wounded in your journey. And He who keeps you will not slumber. Now here is the first use of a word that reminds us here in the psalm of how God is our guardian. God is our keeper. He who keeps you will not slumber. It's the word shomar, and it's five times here in the psalm. Our guardian God, who keeps us. He keeps you, He keeps me. And like a good guardian, He doesn't lose concentration. He's never going to slumber. He's never going to shut His eyes for a second or nod, as we sometimes do when we're getting a little bit dopey. I don't know if you've ever had the experience of driving and you suddenly realise that you can't really remember the last mile or something like that, and you think, goodness, I'd better get a grip on myself. I haven't been paying full attention. I don't know if you've ever closed your eyes at the wheel. I have once or twice, and I'll say those were times when I pulled over and stopped and got some cold air on me to wake me up. But He doesn't do that. We're on this treacherous journey. He's not going to allow your foot to be moved. He's not going to slumber. We may be weary. We may be tired in our journey. We may not be paying full attention to the road in front of us, but He who keeps you, He doesn't slumber. I have a guardian God. Now, I hear many people talking about guardian angels. Personal guardian angels. Well, we know there are angels. We know that they are there to help us and that the Lord commands them to help us. I don't know if it's true that we all have one each. It's nice to think that, but we can't possibly say that that is something we can prove from the Word of God. But we don't have to worry about that, because we have a guardian God who commands the angels. So when one is needed, one will be there. He is a guardian God. And we might grow very tired in this pilgrim journey, in this life of ours. But we've got a bodyguard on the convoy. who's always alert, who's always got your back, who's always looking out ahead, who's always looking for the dangers to either side. He who keeps you will not slumber. But this point has to be made even more strongly. The psalmist is not content by the inspiration of God to leave it there. Verse 4 says, "Behold, he who keeps Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep." Suddenly, this thought is expanded. It opens right up. He who keeps Israel, his people, all of his people, not just you, but all of the people of God. And he says, "Behold, look, this is something marvelous. This is something wonderful. This is something that we can hardly account for, that Almighty God is our guardian, our keeper. He's never distracted. He's never tired. He's never diminished. He never sleeps." We sang one of those hymns, "Immortal, invisible, unresting, unhasting, and silent as light, nor wanting, nor wasting." Nothing in God is wasted. There is no tiredness, no slackness. There is nothing about him that could ever be said to be sleepy. Keeps Israel, and he doesn't slumber or sleep. In our life situations, things get difficult. We look around at the world and we say, "Isn't it terrible, the things that are happening? The wicked things that are done." As we see churches sliding, denominations sliding into compromise, as we have an example of it even this weekend of what's happened in Scotland, and it's very, very sad. We see these things happening. Well, so does he. He's not fallen asleep. He's not slumbering. He's not sleeping. He knows that these things are going on. But he's keeping you. He's keeping you and me. Sometimes we get too wound up about things that aren't directly our concern. We need to keep our eyes on our pathway. He who keeps Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. He keeps all his people. We worry about the state of the church today. Well, don't you think he's worried about it? He keeps Israel. He keeps his people. He guards his people. He is with his people. The Lord is in control of all things. He will triumph. He will get the victory. This is our great and infinite God. Those watchful eyes that never sleep survey the world around. His wisdom is a boundless deep whose depths we cannot sound, said Isaac Watts. He sees everything. He anticipates everything. He knows everything. What a joyful pilgrim journey we should have, knowing that we have a guardian God who keeps us. We have the greatest passport of all. You know that if you have a British passport, it says something along the lines, mine's out of date and I haven't seen it for ages, Her Britannic Majesty requires that the bearer be allowed to pass through and be assisted in any way necessary. It says something like that. And should be allowed to go without any let or hindrance. Don't know if the language in it is still the same. It's rather quaint, but it's rather lovely. But we've got a heavenly passport. We have a guardian God who will see us on our way without let or hindrance. He is our keeper. He's not asleep. And in fact, if the psalm had become a little bit general with "Behold, he who keeps Israel," back it comes to us, to you and to me. Verse 5, "The Lord is your keeper." The Lord is my keeper. The Lord is your keeper. It's a wonderful word. It's a wonderful promise. The Lord is your keeper. If there was any doubt, the Lord, he is your keeper. Personal, direct reference. It's amazing. God himself assumes a task of caring for us. He assumes a guardianship and a care of you and me. A task that is full of grace. How great is he? How tiny are we? How insignificant are we? And yet he cares for us. And he preserves us. And he is our guardian God. This task is full of grace. And he personally fulfills it. Yes, he gives his angels charge concerning us. But it says, the Lord, he is your keeper. Not an angel is your keeper. It's him. He is concerned with all the little details. He is there at every step of your life. He sees and he knows all things. The Lord is your keeper. What an encouraging song this must have been to sing as they went on their way. He's a keeper. Like a treasurer of precious jewels. You know that the word of God refers to the people of God as jewels. The day when he comes to take up his jewels. I often think of it in terms of the chorus that we used to sing as children. When he cometh to take up his jewels, all his jewels, precious jewels, his loved and his own, like the stars of the morning, his bright crown adorning, they shall shine in their beauty, his loved and his own. The Lord is your keeper. You are the apple of his eye. Why? What love, what grace, what mercy, what kindness through the love of Christ that God is my keeper. As though I were the most precious jewel in the greatest storehouse of jewels in the world, with the most fearsome and formidable guardian set over it. The Lord is your keeper. He's the keeper of a sacred trust that will not be broken. He has promised to be a God to his people. He has promised to be your God, to be my God, to be our guide even unto death. The Lord, he is your keeper. This is him who cares for you, who manages all your affairs, and he is going to keep you until the moment he calls you into his presence. There are some people, as far as I'm concerned, they worry far too much. Some Christian people. About health and long life. Well, if you're going to have a long life, you're going to have a long life. The Lord will see to that. If you're going to have a short life, he will see to that too. But some people worry about it as though and there's nothing wrong with exercise, and I know I ought to do more of it, but people think that they exercise, they're prolonging their life. Well, it's nonsense, because God has set a date when he's going to call you home. We worry about these things endlessly. But heaven is far better than this world. And the Lord is your keeper. What are you worried about? I remember that line, I don't remember who said it, that we are immortal until God calls us home. Yes. Aren't you worried about dying, you may say to a Christian? Well, no, because when it's my time, the Lord will call me. And I'm not afraid. The Lord is your keeper. He's in charge. He's the guardian. He's the custodian of every little detail. He will see you through from the beginning of your life right until the end. And then you will see him face to face. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. Sounds rather strange, doesn't it, in a way? But the verse after it sheds a bit of light back on it too. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. Shade in the heat. Protection in the hot, blazing sun. Perhaps a reference to the Israelites and their pillar of cloud by day that went with them. But there's also this sense here, you can lose it because you think about the shade more than anything else, the shadow, at your right hand. I'm just a little puny man. Jehovah God is at my right hand. What a thought that is. It's the sword hand. It's the fighting hand in the traditional sense, in the biblical sense. The right hand. So the expression the right hand man comes from. The right hand is the doing hand, the fighting hand. Some of us are left-handed, I know, but that's the way it is in classical literature and in the Word of God. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. He is there to shield and protect your fighting arm. If you're left-handed, it's your left hand. He is there to shield and protect your fighting arm. The Christian life isn't passive. We're on a journey. We have much to do. It's not easy. It's difficult. We've got battles to fight. We can't just sit back and relax and say, well, I'm going to press the autopilot button, let go and let God. Well, there's nothing about that in the Bible. We're in a battle, but the Lord is your keeper and he's at your right hand. He is the protector of your fighting arm. We're not afraid, therefore, when it calls for it, to step out into combat, out into battle. Out into whatever is difficult, standing up for what is right, perhaps in the workplace, witnessing for the Lord when it's very difficult to do it, seeking to live a holy life, battling against sin. The Lord's your right-hand man. He's going to protect your fighting arm in the battle. The Lord it is who says, I am with you, many times in the Bible. He says it first to Isaac. And then he says it to Jacob, I am with you. And after that, it's in the Bible, said by God, another 14 times. It goes through the Old Testament and into the New Testament. I am with you. Reminded of the scripture, if God be for us, who can be against us? Well, how often would we be better comforted in the difficulties of life if we would remember his words, I am with you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. He's with us to help us, to give us strength and courage as we seek to live for him and to serve him. And the theme develops with verse 6. Because the Lord is your keeper, because the Lord is your shade at your right hand, the sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. And it sounds rather quaint and rather odd, again, particularly where it's the sun shall not smite you by day nor the moon by night. And you think, well, that gives us in our modern minds an image of being hit by the sun and the moon. And we think this sounds very strange. But it teaches us a lot on several levels. The Lord, it's already said, is your shade at your right hand. In the literal sense, from the heat in this journey of the noonday sun, that beating, oppressive, dangerous heat of the sun. It's a real danger. But you might say, well, okay, but how can the moon, am I going to get moon burn or something like that? What's this all about? The sun by day, the moon by night. Well, it's a picture, really, of God's help to us in all situations, in every time of day or night, every circumstance. God is our keeper. The Lord is our keeper. He's there to help us through all dangers. Now, we may be the kind of people who think a little bit too much and get rather worried, and we have irrational fears as well as rational ones. The sun shall not smite you by day, strike you by day. Well, that's a rational fear. I might get burnt by the sun, and I might faint and die by the way. The moon might strike me by night. Well, that's not rational. That sounds a little bit strange. But God is our keeper against all our fears, whether they are rational or irrational. Real and imagined threats, he is our keeper. Day and night, he is our protection at all times. Now he said, I am with you, to Jacob. And Jacob lay down and slept in the middle of open countryside with nothing but a stone for a pillow. Nobody with him. No one to guard him from the wild beasts, from wandering robbers, from anyone who would do him harm. The Lord said to him, I am with you. And that was enough for him. He lay down and slept. Every possible evil, anything that could possibly happen to you or me, the sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord is your keeper. Comprehensive guardian care. Without limit, without fail, the Lord is your keeper. And then he says, the Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. It's the same word. It's the keep word again, but it's just translated in a different way. Same Hebrew word. The Lord shall keep you from all evil. He shall keep your soul. All evil? Can this be true? Well, things go wrong in my life. I sin. Bad things happen to me, even though I might be generally considered to be a good person. The Lord shall preserve you from all evil. What does it mean? Well, it was possibly written, this psalm, at the time of Nehemiah, sung in his time, 445 BC. Nehemiah had it difficult, but when we look back at the record of what Nehemiah did, would we not say that the Lord blessed him and kept him from all evil? That doesn't mean that he wasn't surrounded by evil, vexed by evil, inconvenienced by evil, even frightened by evil. But the Lord kept him in his circumstances to do God's perfect will. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He keeps us from the overwhelming power of sin. Left to ourselves, sin would overwhelm us, consume our lives, take over every aspect of our being. The Lord keeps us from that, from every kind of evil. He delivers us from the power of sin when we trust in Christ. Ultimately, he delivers us from the consequences of sin, damnation, eternal separation from God, and punishment in hell. The Lord shall preserve you from all evil. We're delivered. He keeps us from all types of evil, the dominion of sin. He keeps us from error. He keeps us from great despondency. He keeps us from great pride. He keeps us from the world. He keeps us from ourselves. He keeps us for better things, for holier things, for godly things. The Lord shall preserve you, keep you. From all evil, all kinds of evil, he shall preserve your soul. He keeps our soul. He will keep your life, is what it means. He will preserve the very core of your being and keep you. Your life, your essence, what comprises you, what is vital about you, he will keep your soul. Keeping the soul is the most important thing in the world. What shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? If you keep nothing else, you long to keep your soul, to keep your standing with God. He shall preserve your soul. And the soul is what our God above all things has the right to keep, because he has preserved our souls in the work and the sacrifice of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, our Saviour, the atoning death on Calvary's cross. It's a certain thing. He will preserve your soul. He shall preserve your soul. It's all in place. The plans are made. The price is to be paid. Now it has been. He shall preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve and keep your going out and you're coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. He's going to keep you in your going out and you're coming in. In every little daily action, the mundane things. You get up in the morning, you go out to work, you go out to study, you go out to shop. Whatever you do, you come home, in, out. That's what our lives are. An endless succession of going in and out, isn't it? Think about how many times you go through the front door of your house in your life. in and out and in and out, here and there. The Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in. He's with you in all of these little things. It's a picture of everyday life, and it's a picture of the whole of life too. We go out into this world when we are born. We come in to the Lord at the end of life, kept by Him forever. What precious verses there are here in this psalm. What a joyful song it is. What a reassuring psalm it is to our hearts. Kept by God forever. The unfailing covenant love of our great Redeemer God. He will keep us until the rivers roll their waters at my feet. Then He'll bear me safely over where the loved ones I shall meet. Will He not keep what He loves? The Lord is your keeper. He says, behold, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Will He not keep what He loves? Can you doubt it? Can you doubt Him? You can doubt yourself, but can you doubt God? The great shepherd who knows His sheep and loves His sheep. We speak of the Lord Jesus Christ. That name, Jesus, comes from the Old Testament, from Joshua, from Jehovah who saves. Have no doubt that this verse speaks to those who claim that Christians can be lost. Those who are saved by the power of God can somehow be lost. The Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in. He shall preserve your soul from this time forth and forevermore. Once in Him forever. These words are definite. You're going to fail. He won't fail. You're going to stumble. He will raise you up and you will not utterly fall. He will not slip away down the ravine. He will not let your foot be moved. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. How clear is the word of God on these things? How wicked it is that people go about afflicting Christians with contrary comments. We're not exempted from troubles and trials in our life, but we're going to be kept through them. The Lord is your keeper. We are not made perfect and sinless, but we are saved because of who God is, not because of who we are. Our great guardian God loves us with an everlasting love which cannot be broken, cannot be exhausted. You can't get to the bottom of it. You can't measure it. You couldn't exhaust it. You couldn't get through it. Love brought to our understanding and our comprehension for our tiny minds in the person of Jesus Christ, our Saviour. Love ultimately, supremely demonstrated on the cross of Calvary. Love of God for you and for me. The Lord is your keeper. And do you notice how He finishes? He shall preserve your going out and your coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. The Lord will keep you now and forever. Now, which one is more encouraging? Perhaps we might first say, well, forever, that sounds bigger. Yeah, but we're not living next week, next month, next year. I don't know about you, but I'm living now. I'm living today, and I need to know something. You need to know something tomorrow. You need to know something when you wake up in the morning. You need to know something now. It is the Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in now. Now, from this time forth and forevermore. Right now, He is your guardian, your keeper. He commands your destiny. And you may cast all your cares upon Him because He cares for you. My friend, if you're not a Christian believer, can you not see how great it is to be a child of God. Do you not long to repent and believe in Jesus Christ the Saviour, that these wonderful things could be true of you too? He cares for you. He knows what is best for you and for me, and He is going to keep us. He will keep you until you see Him face to face. Be encouraged. Be comforted. Be assured. May God be glorified as we reflect on these things. Do not forget, the Lord is your keeper. We're going to sing our closing hymn tonight, part of which I mentioned in what we were saying. 707, I will sing the wondrous story of the Christ who died for me. He will keep me till the river rolls its waters at my feet. 707.